It's a rather stunning text that I'm sharing with you today. I memorized it years ago because it was so stunning. It's not the only one that teaches its principles. There's others, but this one perhaps is as clear as it gets. One thing that the people of God have to get locked in and decide upon is the realization that there are things God will not do apart from you. He is sovereign. He is self-existent. He is independent. But there are some realities that He has wired in this creation that He has created of things He will not do without doing it through you. And it's about time that the people of God wake up to their authentic identity, being the representatives of the King in His kingdom, and to engage in this world to train what they're going to be doing forever, namely reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Now, this can be a troubling text, but it needs to be. It needs to rattle your cage until you realize the importance of what God plans to do through you, through us. Now, the context of this passage of Scripture is such that there are corruption in the lives of the people of God. And the reason there is corruption in the lives of the people of God is because there is corruption in the lives of its leaders. And when you have corruption in the people of God resulting from corruption in the leadership, it will result in the judgment of God, because God is going to purify His people. Don't ever dare ask God to be less than what He is. And He is holy. And He will not stop until He wrought in you everything He is destined that you become. You are an unceasing spiritual being with an eternal destiny in God's great universe. You will reign with Him forever. And you are in training now, being who you are. And so He says in a lot of this in verse 30, I look for a man. It could have been a woman. He looked for a person, a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it, but I found none. So what will you do, God? So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their own heads all they have done, declares the sovereign Lord. You see, 1 Corinthians 3:9, 2 Corinthians 6:1, you know what they refer to you as? You are God's fellow worker. You are God's field. You are God's building. In His sovereign providence, He is going to do some things through you. Period. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand in utter awe of the weekend we're celebrating. Is any greater character ever demonstrated? Is valor ever known in the degrees with which we know it when we reflect on heroes on this weekend? And when we think about it, we are greatly humbled. And Father, we want to, in the spirit of that humility, look up to You and say, God in heaven, have you actually included us to such a degree? And we must confess, as co-heirs of Jesus Christ, you have. So have mercy on us, Lord. And as is always the case, we do pray that you forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. I have analyzed a quote, and I have concluded it's true. The destiny of matter is to reveal the nature of spirit. Let me say that again. We're going to work on it a little bit. The nature or the destiny of matter is to reveal the nature of spirit. I'm going to tell you something stunning in a scientific age. And Lord knows you are cut loose to check it out to see if this is right. We do not yet know the ultimate nature of matter. We got a lot of things we're calling it. We got a lot of descriptions of functions, but we do not yet know what it is. What are some of those terms? Well, when I ask, I am told by you, well, it's energy. And I always ask, well, what is energy? And they say, MC squared. I didn't ask you a mathematical formula. What is it? They inevitably describe a description. I said, I did not ask what its function is. I asked you, what is it? See, they cannot deny that it exists, though it's invisible. The most sophisticated of scientific technology cannot see it, as it were. It must be substantive because we see a function, though we cannot see it. But they are still committed to a materialistic worldview, a universe where nothing transcends it. So we can't stop at energy, we got to move on. And thus they have in the history of Western thought. We even heard now they have quarks. What in the world are quarks? Well, this is a substrata below energy. We don't know what it is, but we see a function, so we called it something. We might as well just say it's popcorn. And then one of the most raw-hide atheists I know, who gets a big kick out of slapping Christians but doesn't do very well in defense of his theory, comes up with the concept of memes, where you and I interact, there's a flow, there's a function, we don't know what it is, it's invisible, but it's there, and we just decided to call it memes instead of popcorn. It's substantive, we can never see it, but it's there. And then Stephen Hawkins, he tells us about strings. That's ultimate reality. So we keep reducing reality. We give it other names. It's a commitment to a materialistic universe and nothing that moves beyond it in the spiritual, nothing that moves beyond it in the metaphysical. We can't see it. We can't test it. We can't validate it, but we have to acknowledge its function. But it cannot be anything beyond what we could know or eventually will know. We have quantum physics, we have quantum mechanics, and that explains everything. Wrong! And let me tell you one of the reasons it does it and never will. The Bible, which is authority in my life, that moves beyond my rational content to revelation to give me understanding of things, tells me that ultimate reality is not reducible to energy, quarks, memes, or strings. Ultimate reality is reducible to the Word of God. He spoke the universe into existence, and he sustains it every moment thereafter. And since you cannot divide God up from his attributes, when you say that ultimate reality is the Word of God, is the same thing as saying ultimate reality is God. So what does that mean? We believe that there is a non-physical source for all physical reality. I'm that way. If I fall down and die now, and you want to know who I am, what operation can you perform to find me? Well, we just dice your brain up. You'll dice up a very sophisticated piece of meat, but you won't find me. Because, see, fundamentally, I'm spiritual. And I work and operate through my personal power pack, which is my body. And when I die, I'm not relegated to just living within this body. I can move out of it and go be with Jesus, and you can watch my body die as I do. And I'm completely okay because I'm fundamentally spiritual. Your eyes are moving. Your head goes from side to side. I'm seeing some movement that indicates fundamentally what you are. I can't see you, but I can tell maybe if you're interested, if your body language, if I read it accurately. Somebody hitting on watch, see if it's still running. It is. Because, see, you are fundamentally a non-physical being who has a body that is a personal power pack. Now, that non-physical source must be personal, and we believe is God Almighty, because where did the personal come from if it is not fundamental in God? I don't care how much particles in progress you have, how many gazillions of years you think this earth existed, but I'm going to tell you something right now. A rock can never evolve to the point that it becomes a mind. Do you hear me? And so you must begin to understand that a lot of what you see and experience comes from what you cannot see, at least ultimately. And see, you make an assumption that the metaphysical or the spiritual beyond that transcends the physical universe exists, but many of your cultural elite and educational systems do not make that assumption and think you're a fool for doing so. Now, why do I say that nature is an instrumentality of the kingdom of God? Well, did y'all notice anything when you drove up this morning? Did you notice some colors changing? Go ahead. This is where I say yes, amen, or something. Okay, some colors are changing. Amen. Thank you. Now, that means if it once was green and it's changing color, there's some processes going on, and that eventually the leaves will fall. It'll look like it's dead, but it's actually dormant, just to awaken again in the spring. There's things going on. Do you watch what's going on in the planets? Do you walk out in woods and interact with the animal kingdom or observe it, or go into nature and hear the sounds and look about you and see things and kind of admire it? I don't know about you, but when I go out in it, there's a refreshing, I can't really define it, that I sense, I feel. I can look at this beauty, I can smell it, I can hear it, and my life is enriched somewhat. There's something about it, I can't quite get it. And the more that I've looked at it, I've decided that I know what it is. See, when you see this, and you study Romans 1 this week, and you'll see where I get this, I discover that everything I see without exception comes from this non-physical ultimate reality, so that when I experience it as a mediation, as a means, I experience the kingdom of God. Amen. You don't have to run from this truth. I would be laughed off this stage by a lot of people, but you do not have to run from this truth. I'm going to tell you right. Your contempt does not make your argument right and mine wrong. And just the fact that you disagree with me does not make me wrong. You are responsible to validate your position just as I'm doing now. How's that? Now, I've noticed that a lot of people are coming to temple. I'm glad. I just kind of like a church that grows. And I interview you about why you come. We crest a major mark just last Sunday. Without having a special Sunday, for the first time in attendance, we had over 1,500. Let's give the Lord a clap. I thank God for that. Hey, for those of you who have a problem with growing church, would you rather be in here or outside of here? That's the way I look at it. Now, some of you tell me that the reason you came in here, you know, a lot of you are invited, and I thank God for that, but you said you drove by the interstate, you saw this big old building, you said, you know, I got to go find out what's going on there. That kind of success does not equate the movement of God, but it could be an indication that God's up to something, and I'd check it out too. I don't blame you. And then you come in here, and you start noticing some of the stuff we have around here, and you like that too. You just love the preacher. And some you like the music or you don't. Upward, I hear there's a virtual revival here Saturday for people signing up for Upward. It could be Awana. You like the children's program. You like the youth. I don't know what it is. But for whatever reason, you come here, you see a lot of things, and you like what you see. Now, what I need you to understand, whether it's this building or the people you see in this building or the programs you experience, or the Spirit of God you feel flowing when you're in here, you must understand fundamentally, just like everything else I've mentioned this morning, that everything you see comes from a non-physical source, and it is God Almighty. When you come in here, you are actually encountering and interacting with what is a manifestation of the Trinitarian presence. God in all His glory and His people, and you can't get in that mix and not be touched. As a matter of fact, if you don't want to change life, you better be careful, friend, because you've made a bad decision coming here this morning, because God Almighty might just get a hold of you, and I pray that He does. So, what I want you to understand, and I want you to go up and ask Jesus when you get to glory if this is the truth. I believe all the great things God has done in this church has been the result of His sovereignty and what He has been able to do through a cooperative people. And that has been expressed in no better way than people who have been on their knees praying for this church. A church is no taller than she stands on her knees. When we talk about being a praying church right here, this is not rhetoric, friend. We have groups of people all over New Bern who pray for at least 1 hour, called the Kingdom Prayer Ministry, who they don't pray about their personal needs, they don't pray about the country's needs and all the world's needs. There is a time and place for that. They pray specifically for what God is doing at this church. And if that offends you, there's 168 hours a week. I'm asking for one. Use one of the other 167 to pray for the rest of them, would you? Because I'm going to tell you, my confidence rests on the fact that people are on their face before God with a quarterly bulletin we supply to you praying for Temple Baptist Church. So if you're looking for someone to glorify and get excited about, don't let it be the pastor or its staff or even its people. Look up to God Almighty and give Him the word. Now, one of the reasons that I've been dealing with the Breath series is simply because if you just think it's another series on prayer or another book to be read about prayer, you're not going to get anywhere. You have got to understand that the very breath of your life is learning this interaction that we call prayer. It's a lifestyle. It's not a commitment you do every now and then. It's an absolute lifestyle. And I had hoped by the series, don't know if I accomplished this, that if you figured out through it that it was absolutely necessary to sustain your personal life, what less could we expect corporately by storming heaven's gates as God people about what He's doing here? And so look in your notes. S.D. Gordon said, you can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you can't do more than pray until you've prayed. You know, my home pastor said that his whole life, and I never knew where he got it. And it's really true. And then Paul Bilheimer says something stunning, but if you believe the text I just read you, we'll have to come to terms with it, at least in some degree. He says, through the plan of prayer, God actually is inviting redeemed man into full partnership with Him. Not in making the divine decisions, God forbid, but in implementing those decisions in the affairs of humankind. Co-laborers, partners with God. God's not content until He's doing it. Listen, you know what I'm doing here this morning? I'm doing something with God. A man's an absolute fool to get up here on his own. The Kingdom Prayer Ministry. I am at their mercy. Well, let's look at it here. That's why I'm saying, if your understanding of your walk with God is you and God doing things together, then that's why I define prayer as being talking to God about the things we are doing together. See, the kingdom of God is the action of God, and the grace of God is the action of God within you that enables you to do what you cannot do on your own. And when God, through His sovereignty, begins working in you, He has equipped you, now you can cooperate with Him, and His sovereignty within you, there's a cooperation that forms a partnership, and God is busy with you, developing you individually and His overall redemptive plan. What is God's ultimate goal? You ready? God wants to develop your character and your power so much that by the time He gets through with you, He can empower you to do what you want. You say, wait a minute, preacher, I think you said it wrong. You mean what He wants? That's not what I said. I said to empower you to do what you want. Because by the time God gets through with your character and your power, you won't want anything but what God wants, and He'll cut you loose so you can reign forever and ever with Him. I didn't say this first service. I'll go ahead and say this. It's pure speculation. Through the Hubble telescope now, there's so many hundreds of millions of galaxies, and we just live in one called the Milky Way. The vastness of space is incredible. And I know there's a limit there, and I think what God's going to do is within it. But I believe you might say, well, why is all that space out there? Because I think He's going to cut all His children loose to reign with Him forever and ever. How's that? I can't wait. So I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready for my post. How about you? So, what's happening here, if I have, in the slightest degree, gotten across to you what I think God's after? Well, it's this. God's on the hunt. He's looking here this morning. Oh, yes. To and fro, He's looking at hearts. See, you can hide in your body to me, but you won't hide from God Almighty. And He is looking for those of His children who will join with Him in His work. So God is looking for kingdom partners to accomplish His work. Look what He says in verse 30. I look for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it, but I found none. What is He seeing when He sees you? He's looking. Who's going to be a part of it? Listen, I'm not living my life. I don't know how much longer I got. I'm 49, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. I do not want to live my life. I want to invest my life, not waste it. I want to make sure I'm involved in kingdom enterprises with God Almighty. How about you? He's looking. He's scanning. Who's mine? Who's going to join me in partnership? Who's going to allow me to implement my sovereign decisions through you? Well, we also see in here then that kingdom partners then, if you are interested in signing up, they assume their God-given responsibility to stand before God interceding for kingdom purposes for other people. Yes, for the people of God, but for everybody. They just stand before God in intercession. Listen, I think there's a lot of people praying for you, but one thing you got here this morning, you got someone that is praying and covering you every single week, and you are looking at him standing before God, not only with his request, but in intercession for you. You know what Steve Brown told me when he was here? I hadn't seen him in about 3 years. We've talked some on email and so forth. Hadn't seen him in 3 years. He came up to me and said, "Steve, I pray for you every single day. Standing before God, interceding for me, interceding for my family, interceding for this church." Every week, one of you come up to me and say, "Our kingdom prayer team prayed for you or the staff or the church." I got an email this morning. And the individual said, "I woke up early this morning, and God laid me on your heart. I don't know what it is, but I want you to know that I'm praying for you." I know what it is. They don't need to know what it is. They obeyed God, and God answered. When Steve Brown was here on that Sunday morning, I sat right there. A lady I never see came up and handed me a piece of paper and says, "God woke me up at 3 this morning and told me to give it to you." Well, she assumed it was for the church. I was going through. I'd been filleted that weekend. And I opened up that note, and I'm telling you right now, it's like Gabriel was dispatched to me with this note. I mean, it made the hair come up on the back of my neck. And then she looked at me after service and said, "That's for the church." I said, "No, it's not." I said, "That's for me. You obeyed God, and God has ministered my soul through you today." You get my drift? I mean, there's some folks that are taking this stuff seriously. They are standing before God Almighty, crying out to Him. They will not go away. They are standing in the gap on behalf of the law. They're building up the hedge. They're on the wall watching for you. And thank God for every single one of you. So we have to face something. We have a responsibility that God Almighty is accomplishing His work through kingdom partners. See, he said, "I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it, but I found none, and my heart breaks, not one." Give me 50 Lot, give me 40 Lot, give me 30 Lot, give me 20 Lot, give me 10, give me one that will not be said about me or the heartbeat of this church. This is not rhetoric, folks. Every church is a praying church in theory. You understand that, don't you? I was flown into Florida with some internationally known leaders, and you'd know every one of them if I named them. There's about 15 of them, and a guy started criticizing the church because there was no one on staff that was paid to oversee the prayer ministry in the church. I went, "You're wrong, sir. We have a paid staff member over that at Temple Baptist Church. It's that important. I believe not only the breath of the life of this church, it's very lifeblood. Amen. Only heaven can record what's been done here through the prayers of God's people." Now the last verse is so staggering I can hardly comment on it, but we have to face it. At the very least, we can say this: there are those contexts in which God requires kingdom partners to assume their responsibility in kingdom partnership to accomplish kingdom work. It's required. "So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bring it down on their own heads. All they have done, declares the sovereign Lord." Are you getting a little inkling of just how important you are in this mix? I don't know what you've learned about Christianity and the churches you've grown up in, but I'm going to tell you right now, we're talking about the real stuff here. This is why people like Paul Bellheimer says that God could not have exalted the church any higher without breaching the Godhead itself. There's actual text about you being a co-heir with Christ and sitting with Him on His throne in the book of Revelation. Stunning text. We can't fully understand them. But we know that there is a link in this ineffable union. Oh, don't get over yourself. God will always be infinite and you'll always be finite. You won't become God. We're not in some Obi-Wan Kenobi New Age this morning. He'll be God. But I'll tell you one thing. He will exalt a human being as high as he can without that human being becoming God. Wow. I don't know about you. I'm just kind of feeling kind of important. How about you? Well, there's a reason for preaching this sermon. An opportunity for you to apply it right now. I need you. I got to have you crying out to God for this church. I need you to be a part of the Kingdom Prayer Ministry. I thank God. Let me say this because this is only right. I thank God that I grew up under a pastor who was known as a man of prayer, Dr. Johnson. And I thank God when I came here for Carol Ipock and Gil Edge, who wanted to start a prayer ministry here with a guy that had been brought up in prayer. That's no problem with me. And I thank God for Nan Clemens, who visited churches about how to do a full-fledged prayer ministry and implement it here. And I thank God for Joe Davis and the Hope Network and Jackie Puz and all the work they do in His Kingdom Prayer Ministry to keep this thing afloat, because it's a priority and it's what we must do.